So I'll just review what we're trying to achieve with the Jet External Websites. I'll describe in some detail some of the dynamically generated pages, in particular talking about our wiki installation. I'll give you a little bit of technical detail about how the servers work and say a bit about what's going to happen in the future. So the websites are very generally aimed at any kind of knowledge sharing that's required by our user community. We set it up as an external machine, partly for security reasons, but also to make it very easy to access the websites. So anywhere in the world, any network, you can get to the information. And at the first layer, we've got purely public pages. Quite a lot of that is PR information, but anything that's not sensitive can be put at that level. For example, we have the manual pages for Jet DSP there. For any content which is of a more sensitive nature, or where we need to know who you are, if we're tracking some kind of service, then we require a JetNet password or you to be on a trusted association network. We do have the ability to publish very secure information or to publish very secure services. We can authenticate secure ID tokens, and that gives you the equivalent level of security as remote computer access. The general policy is to try and make the information as available as possible. The one caveat is where we've got a lot of legacy information on our intranet, we're using reverse proxying to push that out where it's safe to do so. By safe, I mean we don't expose any CGI programs that would allow, say, a denial of service attack on our internal services. If you've got any users who want to get started, they can negotiate some web space with Dwight Borba, and Clive Ellsmore can give advice on how to manage static pages. Anybody who wants to propose a new dynamic service, we've got guidelines and security assessments before we go ahead with anything like that. I've got a page of contacts just for reference there. I won't go through the names in particular. So I'm going to talk a bit about the dynamically generated content, the first part of which would be the wiki systems, but also some bespoke applications which we've developed, both for managing information internally at Cullum, and also for publishing operations-related information. In general, you can say of all of these things that they're good for the end users because they make it easier to get fresher information. They make it easier for the publishers to put the information out there. The costs are really incurred by us for administering the website. It's quite labor-intensive to develop these applications. You need more CPU power, more machines behind it, and there's a bit of a security risk, so you've got to be careful as you do this. The wiki system, which Stefan's already presented, the advantages are really that you just need a web browser to be able to edit the pages. I think you had some discussion about the fact that what you type has some lightweight HTML-like syntax if you want to make complicated pages. But in general, it's easy to edit. You don't need any special tools installed on your computer. A lot of wiki engines have a very open policy. So by default, everybody is allowed to edit them. And as Stefan pointed out, there are many different engines to choose from. To summarize, I mean, the good news is it's very easy to get the information out there, and the bad news is the same. It's very easy to get the information out there. Not always a good thing. At Jet, we have chosen to implement a wiki based on the MediaWiki software. That is running the Wikipedia encyclopedia on the internet. It's developed in PHP with a database backend, and that was a good fit for the kind of applications that we are familiar with at Jet. It's got very good support for typesetting equations through LaTeX, and in general, it's got a lot of the features that have already been demonstrated in Stefan's talk. So there's version control or history. You can subscribe to pages and get notifications when they change. There's a built-in search. It's a good system. Here's an example of how you use it. Task Force M, Simon Pinches, have got a wiki site. It's linked off the main users page. When you navigate to that, you go through the standard JetNet authentication. We've done the integration of that. And then you get to the wiki page. Once you're there, there are a number of links for editing or for looking at history. The search interface is linked off the main page. And you also get data which is generated by the system. So you can see who's been reading pages, how often it's been looked at, that kind of thing. It's very useful to be able to track what's been changing, or indeed who's been changing it, if you've got a set of pages which are managed by a group of people. Quite powerful features built into the wiki software there. If you do want to edit something, you get an editing box, and this example shows some of the support for both mathematical typesetting and also for actually generating graphs on the fly. So there is some kind of syntax to be learned by the end user. I think some concern was expressed that that can be a bit of a barrier to publishing. It is possible to write plugins for browsers that hide that from the end user at the cost of doing that development. In this case, we've saved some mathematical equations and we've generated a plot on the fly. So that just gives you a little bit of a flavor of what MediaWiki looks like at Jet. We've got a number of installations of MediaWiki. The first one I did was for a group of PhD students who wanted to build a website with Fusion terms. Over the last 4 or 5 months, as I said, Task Force M have been using MediaWiki quite a lot, and Simon Pinches has been very positive about using that tool for organizing his experimental sessions. A work in progress is setting up a wiki to support discussion of the Ida Kodak review for Joe Lister. That's ongoing. And we've got a number of groups which have requested private wikis just for organizing their own work. And we've set up at least 3 of those so far. A few caveats about wikis. There is a bit of an issue about how you manage the content long term, because it gets stored inside a database. It's not necessarily in any easily exportable format. There aren't in general tools for migrating content between wikis. So you have to be a bit careful about how much effort you put into developing these. It doesn't solve all the problems of trying to create a good, useful website. You still need somebody who's going to edit actively and organize the content. The wiki we've chosen has fairly limited support for fine-grained access control. So we have a fairly open policy. Where we need to refine that, I've integrated our authentication system and I had a mix of the wiki functionality and our own bespoke code. I think XWiki is more successful in providing better access control. If you have users using different wiki engines across different EFTA sites, that could be problematic in terms of their learning curve for how to use the tools. And there is a bit of a security issue in that if you encourage the use of these more dynamic services, there are some issues to be aware of. I'll just have a quick look at some of the other applications which we've written in-house on the websites here at Jet. We've got a pinboard document management system that's got the capability to track different versions of people's papers and also to authorize their publication. We've got a system for booking rooms, for planning meetings. We book our shift meals. These tend to all have the same kind of structure, a database for storing the data, some web interfaces for the end users, and some logic in the middle. The reprographics figures, we have provided a search interface for, and you can also retrieve the figures in a variety of formats. Looking more at Jet operations, our data management group have developed both a physics summary page for looking at what's going on per pulse, and also a handbook for Jet data, diagnostic information. The physics summary pages, which you may be familiar with, they show the latest pulse information. They've got good links to the information in the control room, and they also point at further information about each pulse. The Jet Data Handbook, this is a way for diagnosticians to manage information about the state of the diagnostic, links to documentation about it, and really to make that very visible to the end users at Jet. Both of these are PHP-based applications with database behind them. I'll talk briefly about what we've got hosting these sites. We've got 2 web servers plus a file server for content. Originally, we had quite a low-spec machine providing static pages. It's also running a MIMER database for some of our legacy applications. We're using Apache as a web server. But as we've introduced more and more dynamically generated content, we needed more CPU power. And about 18 months ago, we put in a dual CPU machine. That's using Solaris 10 and zones to be able to separate the different servers from each other for security reasons. So we've got a zone running a Tomcat server, a zone for a Postgres database, a zone for a MySQL database, and that's also running an instance of Apache. Our applications, I've mentioned that a number of them have been developed using PHP. The figures interface is developed in Python, and it uses an open source search engine as well. Our authentication is written in Perl, and our other applications written in Java. So we've got quite a mix of languages that we're working with. Just to finish off with, the graph here shows the use of the user's website over the last year. And you can see that in terms of hits, we've gone up by almost a factor of 10 in the last year. So there's a lot of increasing interest in using the website as a tool for getting information. We're increasingly providing dynamically generated content. We're getting sort of better integration across pages. So you can go from the physics summary, you can click on a pulse number, you can get to video about that pulse, you can get to links about the data handbook, find out the documentation. All in all, it's a better experience, I hope, for the end user. General trends on the internet are that a lot of desktop-type applications, you expect to find comparable functionality in your web applications now using tools and development styles like Ajax. Something we haven't yet considered is how best to store our content. So we're not making much use of XML yet, or we don't have terribly simple ways to integrate our different applications. But those are ideas maybe we should be considering. Implications for running the website, as we're using it more and we're developing more sophisticated ways of running applications, we need to keep our skills and tools up to date. We need to make sure that if the service is heavily used, that we keep it up and running, that we know that it's there. And I think we need to keep including the end users in the process to make sure that we're providing what is useful and what is needed. That concludes my talk. Have you got any questions?